I'd like to turn to some scriptures. First is in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and reading from verse 5. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. Verse 13. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thyself an ark of gopher wood." Then in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, that's page 1459 for some of us, and reading from verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him out. By faith, Noah, oracularly warned concerning things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." The second epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and reading from verse 5, "And spared not the old world, but preserved Noah, the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, having brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." The first epistle of Peter, and chapter 3, and reading from verse 20, "When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, into which few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which figure also now saves you, even baptism, not a putting away of the filth of flesh, but the demand is before God of a good conscience, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being subjected to him." And then just finally in Matthew 24, and reading from verse 37, "But as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took all away. Thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man." I suppose every sober-minded man and woman could not deny that there is a great deal of violence in the world. You haven't got to go very far, even in the streets of England, to know that this very prevalent matter of violence is something that's difficult to cope with. It's a remarkable thing that God had to once deal with this very thing upon this earth. I wonder whether you realized it. God says in his word, "Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually." What I've been thinking of, beloved hearer, is the wonderful way in which God warns his creature of the impending judgment of this world. He did it in Noah's time. You say, "Oh, that was a long time ago." So it was. But you know, what has struck me of recent time is that God always warns his creature of what he is about to do. You know, when God looked down on this scene that he had made, it says that it grieved him in his heart that he had made man, because the earth was full of violence, and the imagination of man only wickedness continually. You say, that's very true. You begin to think and soberly go over these things, you say, it's very true. You look abroad today and you say, yes, I can see that the very scriptures testify that this world is full of violence and wickedness. You say, what is the remedy? God says to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is full of violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. You might say, that's a terrible thing to say. The earth is going to be destroyed. What is the remedy? Dear friend, as in the days of Noah, so in our day, God always provides a way out. Wonderful grace. You know, how you would long tonight that men may listen to the gospel. Because if he warns us, as he surely has been warning us nearly 2,000 years, God brings out in his word, as we ponder the deluge that came upon this earth, according to God's word, remember that we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews that Noah was oracularly warned to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And dear friend, whether we like it or not, the word has gone out even to the extremities of the earth. God has been warning his creature for nearly 2,000 years of the imminent judgment of this poor world in which we find ourselves. You say, that's a pretty mournful sort of approach to a gospel preaching. But dear friend, I'd like to tell you that the preacher has a very grave responsibility. And Noah had a very grave responsibility because God said to him, I'm going to tell you, Noah, that I'm going to judge this world in a flood. And I want you to know what I'm going to do. And I want you to prepare an ark for the saving of your house. Now there is two things, beloved hearers. The judgment, the full effect of the judgment of this world, and the wonderful effect of the way of the salvation out of it. And here we stand, you might say, not in Noah's time, no. But thank God for the scriptures that we have in our hands to teach us and to help us. We stand, we might say, on the threshold of eternity, and we're here tonight listening to God's word. Some of us will remember, you know, nearly a year ago, there was a terrible hurricane in this country. And men became very fearful. Only a few weeks ago, there was a hurricane in the Caribbean of intense ferocity. You know, when God speaks or lifts his hand, the elements, the rain, the wind, the storms, everything is in his hand. And God brings his power to be known to his creature. So you think of how imperative it was that Noah was to believe God. Very important. Now you might say to me, dear friend, as you listen, well, what you're speaking about happened a long time ago, and where is the proof of anything that you're speaking about? And you know, I was vividly arrested this week as driving along, and there'd been a very nasty storm, and up there in the sky was the bow. And it immediately reminded me of God's covenant with man. And God says, this is going to be a witness in the heavens that I will not anymore deluge the earth with a flood to cover it. That's God's covenant. There it was, all those beautiful array of colours in the sky. And it made you realise, well, there is God's covenant in the sky. I have no doubt whatever, dear friend, that the holy scriptures of God were written for us so that we might understand the power and glory not only of the matter of judgment of this poor world, but of the way of salvation. Because if God says, I'm going to judge the world, he's also going to make a way out of it for everyone who has put their faith and trust in the blood of Jesus. Now the ark. The ark is symbolical of the death of Christ. Wonderful thing. And you know, amongst the things that Noah was told to do, he says, I want you to pitch it inside and out. If you look at that word very carefully, pitch is the same word as atonement. And God says, as it were, I'm going to make atonement for you, and I'm going to put you in the ark, and I'm going to shut you in, and you are going to be safe from the judgment that is about to come on this poor world. Dear friend, it's a wonderful type for us to remind us that God soon is going to judge the whole habitable earth in righteousness by this man whom he has appointed. There is God's word. You say, yes, I couldn't question what you say about the violence and the awfulness of the heart of man. God says, well, this is the way I'm going to do it. I don't want to go into all the detail, but just to show you that in the ways of God, God comes in a wonderful way for Noah and those that were with him in the ark. You say, how long did he preach? Very interesting question. I suppose, I'm not sure, but I suppose he must have preached for nearly 120 years. Now you think about that. And I suppose you know that Noah could quite easily be a laughingstock to those that were around him. There was Noah, and he'd been oracularly warned of God to build an ark, and there he was, building it on dry ground. People must have come along and ridiculed them. Say, Noah, I don't know what you're doing, but you know, you're the laughing stock of the whole place. Never mind. God had warned Noah of the judgment about to come. You know, let's transfer that for a moment to the day in which we live in. You know, sometimes a Christian becomes a laughing stock. Somebody gets up in the market square and starts to speak about the precious Savior of the world, the one who gave himself a ransom for all. And it says that some mocked. And there are mockers in this world even today. Where is the promise of his coming? Some said, we'll hear thee again, to Paul. Perhaps he never got another opportunity. But you see, think of Noah. And think of the wonderful way in which, despite all that was against him, he went on quietly. You know, I'm transferring this to this little gospel preaching tonight. Here we are in the presence of God. God is listening to us. God is seeing our reaction to his word. He's going to see what we're going to do with the word tonight. You see, by Noah's action, he condemned the world, we're told in Hebrews. He condemned it. And you think of every nail that he would have put in that ark, every day, as we supposed, for 120 years, every nail would have been condemning the world. But think of that moment when the last nail was driven in. And the ark was complete and made worthy for the water. I wonder what people would have said then. And I wonder, dear friend, if I was to say to you tonight, the Lord Jesus is soon coming. As in the days of Noah, so also in our day. The Son of God is about to come and claim all those who have put their faith and trust in his precious blood. Will you laugh then? Will you ridicule then? Or you know, you'd say, it's too urgent. It's too urgent. But the remarkable thing is that no one was converted. Only Noah and those that were with him in the ark. Eight souls. You know, I often wonder about it. It says where we read in Peter that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I suppose every day he would have preached, the judgment is coming. Make sure that you have a place in the ark. And dear friend, the language is still the same today. God warned Noah in his dispensation. But now we're in the dispensation of grace. And the message is still the same. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, says Peter, when he stood up to preach with the 11. Wouldn't you like to be amongst those that will be saved forever? Without being fanciful, dear friend, just imagine that scene. Just imagine the first day that the rain came. I wonder what the feelings of men would have been. My word, it's a very, very heavy storm. I hope it'll clear soon. But you see, it went on raining and raining and raining. And as the waters crept up, so men would begin to realize that after all, Noah was right. What he was saying to us in the market square was right. And here we are. And we haven't got any hope at all. Dear friend, what a poor gospel it would be if we could say to you tonight, I'm sorry, there's no hope. But the wonderful thing is that tonight there is hope. Isn't that wonderful? I can say to you, dear friend, on the authority of Scripture, if you will repent of your sins and come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, there's hope for you. That's the power of God's Word. I wouldn't like to be a scorner or a rejecter of God's Word. You know, the Scripture says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And dear friend, with all our hearts tonight, we would desire to persuade you to come into this place of safety. You say, is there such a place as safety in this poor world? Yes. Noah wasn't taken out of the world, was he? But he was in it in a safe place. And that's like being put into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Christ is the ark. Figurative of the death of Christ for me. Wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And still the gospel is being preached. You know, if we could only realize tonight that in countless places, just like ourselves, God is using the feebleness of the preacher to bring home the wonderful joy of salvation. Dear friend, it would be absolutely foolishness to neglect so great salvation. Noah would have been urgent. I'm quite sure he would have been. Noah would say, I've been oracularly warned that judgment is coming. And we have been oracularly warned too. What would happen if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight? Would you be saved? Or would you be lost? These are sober things to think about. But Noah thought about them. And every one of them in his house was safe in the ark. God shut them in. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be safe, isn't it? David could say, with me thou art in safe keeping. Think of the tremendous relief. There were the storms, but Noah says, I know we'll be all right. God has shut us in, and God will take care of us. And so, you know, we come to this wonderful moment tonight of making sure whether we really have the assurity in our souls that we're saved. You say, that's a wonderful figure, yes, it's all past, yes, but it was a figure of the actual incoming of the Lord Jesus. God warns men before of what will happen. And now as we think of this day of grace, this dispensation in which we're in, God has been presenting Jesus as a precious Saviour for nearly 2,000 years. And thousands have come and put their faith and trust in his precious blood, and they're safe for time and for eternity. But are you? That would be the urgent matter, dear friends, as we're in the presence of God tonight. Have you a personal link with the Lord Jesus? You say, what did he do? The Lord Jesus became incarnate. He became a man, but divine perfection in a man. I wouldn't lower for one moment the deity of his person, because he was God manifested in flesh. You know, all around us there is irreverence as to the person of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus is God, manifest in flesh. And he's come to seek and to save those that were lost. Why did he come? Did he come in all his pomp and glory? No, he came as the lowly man, the babe in Bethlehem's manger, as we sang at the outset. None care to know his worth. But who is this personage? Who is this person? Jesus. God manifested in flesh. He is the Saviour of the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the wonderful incoming of the true Ark, the Lord of glory. And there he comes, dear friends. It says he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed, for God was with him. You think of the opposition that Jesus had when he was here. Think of that moment when it says, away with this man, crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Think of the despised and rejected Saviour. And then you think of the moment, dear friend, when he was made sin for us. He who knew not sin was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wonderful Saviour. Precious Saviour. And how our hearts indeed, those of us who know him and love him, are warmed to him tonight. And we're longing with all our hearts that you will be warmed to him. Because, dear friend, you depend on Jesus. Just as Noah depended on the ark when he was here, which in figure was the death of Christ, so, dear friend, I depend on Jesus, who is the true ark. Because what's going to deliver me from the awfulness of this world in which I live? What's going to deliver me from the man of sin and death, the man of violence, the man of wickedness? I thank God, there is then no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Wonderful gospel message, isn't it? That you can be free and I can be free by putting my faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. He went to Calvary's cross. Wicked hands crucified my Saviour. They railed at him, it says If thou be the Christ, save thyself and come down from the cross, and we will believe. But there was one man in that 11th hour who rebuked them, the malefactor. We indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. What did he say? Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. God says in Jesus, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man went into the presence of God. A sinner saved by grace. Jesus died. He bowed his head. He delivered up his spirit. He was taken down from the cross by loving hands, and he was buried. But on the third day, he rose from among the dead. And dear friend, what I want to say to you tonight is that Jesus is alive at the right hand of God. Whatever the enemy may say, whatever men may say, whatever religious men may say, I can tell you that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God tonight, a glorious risen man. And if you and I put our faith and trust in his finished work, we shall go to be with him forever in the presence of our Lord and Saviour. The full effect of the judgment will not be known, because Jesus has borne our sins in his own body on the tree. If you believe it. I believe it, but do you believe it? The sinner who believes is free, can say the Saviour died for me, can point to the atoning blood and say this made my peace with God. Now, dear friend, is it but a fairy story? Oh, it'll just be like Noah, it'll pass. No, dear friend, it won't. And what I want to tell you tonight is that God is appealing to your heart and to mind to surrender to love's appeal in the gospel. We have been warned. We have God's word presented to us for the acceptance of faith. Don't be like some who have said, well, you know, I'll think about it when I'm a little older. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. That would be a very sad thing, wouldn't it? But now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think of the wonderful joy, dear friend, tonight, of going over the experience in your heart. You can read these scriptures at your leisure. I've only touched on them lightly, just to show you that the power of God is still the same as it was in the days of Noah. So it is still the same today. It says men will be eating and drinking. They will be giving in marriage. All these things will go on. Just as though the Lord was never going to come. But it says, even so shall the Son of God come. I'd like just to refer to that. It says, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, notice that, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark. You think things go on just the same? And then it says, then they knew not till the flood came and took all away. Thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And here we are, we might say, just at the end of this wonderful story of God's wonderful grace. We're just on the end. The Lord could come at any moment, and the redeemed will be caught up and preserved out of the hour of trial which is about to come upon the whole habitable earth. Think of that. There won't be any judgment for the believer. He's passed from death unto life because he's put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. He's coming. Might be tonight. The Lord Jesus is coming. Are you in the ark? Are you safe? Dear friend, this is very urgent in what I'm saying, and I believe that the Spirit of God would appeal to every one of us here, just before we close, as to whether I have a personal link with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, yes, Noah, you preach well, but there was no result, seemingly. We might preach tonight. Perhaps there may not be any results. God knows. But one thing, dear friend, will be this, that the preacher, in his measure, has told you of what is going to happen. That's not a theory. That's not fanciful. That's true. And here we are, at the moment of decision. We come to the point now, what am I going to do then? Am I going to go out of the room, uncertain? Or am I going to come to the point tonight that I'm going to throw in my lot, and I'm going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'm going to believe in my heart that God has raised him from among the dead. And I'm going to confess my sins, because I realise I'm a sinner, and I realise the Scripture says there's no difference, for all have sinned. And dear friend, if you do that now, you'll have peace with God. To have peace is a wonderful thing. I do hope with all my heart that somebody receives this peace now. While we sit here in the presence of God, let your answer be, I will. Don't reject it. Don't say, I'll come again another time, when I'm feeling more like it. Might be too late. Just have to do with the Lord now. The precious, glorious Saviour, who is the true ark, and who, through his wonderful death, has effected a full and free salvation. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's my message, dear friend. What I wanted to say is this. It speaks of the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Waited. And God has waited nearly 2,000 years. And at the moment, he's still waiting. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. There'll come a moment when the Lord will come, and then follows the judgment of this world. Dear friend, I just beg of you, before we close, give your heart to the Lord tonight. Come to this place of safety. Come to this place of blessing. You can go out of this room happy and justified in knowing that you're saved for time and for eternity, because you put your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus. It says, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. What could be more wonderful? But what could be more challenging tonight? And there we are. You can't say you haven't heard the gospel. You can't say God hasn't appealed to you, because he has. in very great terms of affection. And I would just desire that all of us may think of the wonderful opportunity of knowing the Lord Jesus as your own Saviour. Well, may it be the portion of us all for his name's sake. Amen.